You're listening to episode 58 of the 360 Vegas podcast. Visit the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want a gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
We got a good show this week. I'm really excited for it.
A lot of interesting things. Hey, I wanted to ask you, did you happen to see the new Cosmopolitan commercial?
I have not. Or at least I don't think I have. Describe it for me a little bit.
It's fucking awful. It's the scene at a bar where this guy is hitting on, I've only seen it once, so I could be mistaken, but what they end up doing is like talking out the lyrics from Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's fucking awful.
This sounds familiar, but I think it's kind of like one of those traumatic events in your past where you block it all out, because this sounds familiar, but at the same time, it's all a blur to me, so.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
We set high expectations for Cosmopolitan being one of our favorites.
We are huge fans of Cosmopolitan. I think we've kind of put it on a pedestal, and when you put out shit like that, you're like, oh, come on, you're better than that.
It's a horrible commercial. I was really disappointed to see it.
All right, well, I'd like to start the show off now that you've brought it all down from the beginning.
Let's bring it back up.
Well, that's what I'm going to try and do right now. So I'd like to start off the show with a clarification on the 360 Vegas vacation dates. They are March 14th and 15th. That's a Thursday and a Friday. While it is true that I incorrectly announced them on the show, that is true, I still hold steadfast that, one, Annie Up confused me in some way and caused me to regurgitate inaccurate information. It is possible that Matt and or Daz were just being far too sexy again, and that
probably both derails me. Yeah.
And second, they can go fuck themselves. Thursday and Friday, March 14th and 15th. And go fuck yourselves, Annie Up.
I stand by Mark with his comments regarding the Annie Up crew.
Right.
They can go fuck themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. We got some listener feedback we're going to start the show off with.
We have some pretty cool listener feedback. The first one is coming to us from... Actually, both of them are coming from England. The first one is from Chris and Lorraine Scott. They write, "Firstly, wanted to send my thanks from across the pond to say I am thoroughly enjoying the podcast. You guys and the 500 duo of Tim and Michelle make my Sunday evenings worthwhile. Keep up the great work. As well as Vegas, Florida also has a place in my heart. Met my wife there in 1992. I wondered if Brian might just give me a tip as to the best time to go to Orlando from late July to mid-August. We've not been in about 15 years, but want to take our boys and show them where we met. Tied with the school holidays, so would have to go from about the 25th of July to about the 16th of August, which I know is always busy, but would it be better earlier or later? Any tips would be really helpful. Thank you once again for the great entertainment, Chris and Lorraine Scott, East Yorkshire. Is it Yorkshire or Yorkshire?
I'm not sure, honestly.
All right, well, there you go. England is what it is, and that's cool.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I also met my wife down here in Orlando when we were both interning with the Disney company, and your story absolutely hits home for me. Regarding your trip, just to kind of keep it brief, It's always going to be busy during that time because most kids are off school. I would say that if you're trying to, it depends on what you're doing. If you're really trying to hit up all the attractions like Disney World and Universal Studios, the later that you can push that back, the better, because the more time that you can give kids to start going back to school, the better. You're not going to have as many lines and, you know, worrying about so many people crowding the parks and things like that. Mm. You know, it's going to be hot either way. I mean, right now it's been consistently in the mid to upper 90s with a lot of humidity. So, you know, the weather is going to be pretty consistent. So I would say if you're going to do attractions and you're going to do theme parks and all that sort of thing, the later, the better. But if you want to go in July, it's not going to be a huge difference, but you'll see some for sure.
Now, does it have anything to do with the length of summer? Like, as soon as summer starts, everybody's amped up and they want to go to Disney, and that's why they're going in June and July, and maybe it's towards the end of summer, and people are like, yeah, we've already done that. I mean, does that have anything to do with it?
No, I mean, it's just kids starting school. Okay, I mean,
so
you know,
it really is just filtering people out of their availability.
Yeah, yeah. People aren't going to pull their kids out of school for the first couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if they're going to do anything, they might do something for a fall break if their school does a fall break, mm-hmm. You know, in October or November or something like that. But the later you can push it into August, the fewer people are going to crowd the parks. I was at Epcot today just for a few hours, and it wasn't too bad. So,
well, there you go. See, our show transcends just Vegas, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, our show and 500, of course, make his Sunday evenings worthwhile. So that's we're so glad cool. We help you make your days worth living.
Right. We do like to improve the quality of life, Brian.
Yes, we absolutely do. And we've got another email from John Williams, who is a repeat emailer.
Yes.
He writes, praise the giggler. That's you, Mark.
That is me. So John, I have been dubiously deemed.
Yes. John wrote, you won me over. I now hear your laugh and think happy thoughts. Don't change a thing. The show is great. Long live the giggler. P.S. You can never have enough dick jokes or handjob stories. God bless you, John.
Can I say, when I first read this, I was immediately reminded of the infamous words of a 20th century philosopher known as Buzz Lightyear and his infamous quote, you're mocking me, aren't you? We got a whole Disney opening here, Brian.
I know. This is a Vegas show. Let's get into Vegas and
We probably should. I hope he is serious. And actually, you know, I really don't care either way. That was a good email.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Even if he's lying to us, which I would also be fine with.
Right, yeah. We don't judge the feedback. We just want it.
No, right, exactly. All right, so getting back to Vegas. Random Vegas, sir, what do you got?
In 1397, card playing was forbidden throughout France on working days. We got that from Casino Player magazine. I can't even wrap my head around that.
No. What difference does it make?
Right. Well, There you go. I mean, I guess in the 1300s, government was a little more oppressive.
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, hey, on your leisure time, cards, no. No. This is a work week, okay?
I don't keep
that shit for the weekends.
I don't give a shit if you worked hard all day. You're not playing cards tonight.
This is before the advent of Uno. I think that changed everything, Brian.
I would, or maybe Skippo.
Skippo. Old Maid, perhaps. These all transcended standard cards.
little Euchre. All right. Let's move on. We've got our Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
This week's review is Maggie's August 4th review of Sushi Samba at Palazzo. She gave it 5 out of 5 chips.
Yeah, Maggie wrote, love the food here. Boyfriend and I couldn't figure out what to get, so the waitress asked us our likes and dislikes in food and if there were any dietary issues. I'm a vegetarian, she says. She came back with a 3-course tasting menu that was perfect. The Peruvian corn was so good. She even brought me an avocado roll to eat while my meat-eating boyfriend had tuna rolls. The samba juice is so yummy.
That is a really impressive and unique experience in Vegas where I'm sure it's available in other places, but where you can literally tell somebody the things that you do like, oh, you like that, then you're probably going to love this. That's really impressive.
Yeah, that's like the next level of service that we all kind of look for, and I thought that was a great review also.
Absolutely.
And now it is time for our Twit Pick of the Week.
This week's winner came to us via longtime listener at LisaMP22. We haven't heard from her in a while.
No, she's a really early listener.
Yeah.
Our fangirl.
Right. Self-proclaimed and proud.
Yes.
It's a picture of the Flamingo Marquee sign. When I think of Vegas, this is one of the images I have. I think it's just as iconic as the Vegas sign, the Mirage Volcano, the Fountains of Bellagio. This was just another one of those pictures that the second I saw it, I knew it was going to be the winner. And I'm thrilled to add it to our collection.
Yeah, it is a terrific shot, and we appreciate it very much. As always, we'll link to it on our blog. We'll put it up on the Flickr page. We'll feature it on our Facebook page, as well as the enhanced version of the podcast right now.
Those are all accurate statements.
They are. They are. I'll stand by those. All right, that's going to do it for the opening segment. Let's move into the news. Our first story this week, we're going to talk a little bit about the vandalized billboards that shock drivers.
Now, have you heard about this story yet?
I haven't.
This is really fucked up. Now, early Wednesday morning, multiple 911 calls started coming in with reports of a person who appeared to have committed suicide via hanging themselves from a billboard along Interstate 15. Later, another similar billboard was found on Highland Avenue and Desert Inn Road, very similar. Well, which is why I said similar. In reality, the billboards had been vandalized with phrases such as, "Hope you're happy, Wall Street," and "Dying for work," written in large black letters. Topped off was a life-size mannequin dressed up to look like a real person who had hung themselves from the bottom of the sign. Now, Lamar Advertising and Clear Channel Outdoor own the two vandalized billboards, and both confirmed that they had, in fact, been vandalized and had crews working immediately to restore them to their blank status. No one has come forward to take responsibility for the signs, probably because it's illegal to vandalize the signs, but most believe that it's the work of Occupy Wall Street, that whole movement, largely because the message it conveyed and because they posted pictures of the sign on their site. Now,
yeah, that makes the most sense.
Right, right. Now, when they were asked for a comment, a spokesperson from Occupy Wall Street's site said they only posted them because they support the message that was conveyed there. That was pretty shocking. I would say, you know, especially when you think about how high up and how large billboards are, the picture I saw was, of course, a close-up shot, so I could immediately see that it was a dummy, but I could totally see how distracting and how fucked up this would be if you're driving to work Wednesday morning and it looks like somebody hung themselves.
That's a fucking hell of a way to make a statement. Yeah, and it's obviously it's going to grab your attention. There's no doubt about it, but wow. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say about it. I mean, the story is pretty self-explanatory, mm-hmm. and I think I would have the same reaction if I had seen it for myself without an explanation.
At first, when I started reading the article, I thought they were going to tell me that they had okayed this. Like, this was, you know, somebody paid for that billboard, they set it up.
Like,
and
we're good with this.
Do whatever you want. And I was like, oh my God, somebody's getting sued. and then both of the companies were like, no, we didn't have shit to do with this. No.
Wait, what happened?
That's pretty bold. I mean, a giant billboard. I don't know how you pull that off. I mean, obviously, you got to be going there late at night, right? How else are you going to pull something like that off?
Well, those things are well lit even at nighttime.
Right. So I don't know how they pulled it off. Maybe it's just because, you know, if you're up there at 3-4 in the morning, nobody's on the fucking freeway. Although, it's Las Vegas. People are up all over the time.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain how they did it, but they did it, and it was, you know, you're enjoying the Enhanced podcast. You're seeing this picture, and if not, go to the website, click on the link, you'll get the same picture we're showing on the Enhance, but there you go.
Yeah, that's a pretty fucking bold move.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep. And I mean, we have no way of confirming, and they wouldn't step forward even if they really did, but I think it's safe to assume that it was Occupy Wall Street.
I can't fathom anyone who...
With the stones big enough to pull that off.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yep, interesting story. Moving on to some other things regarding some signage. Got some information regarding the plans for the Link signage.
Yeah, this just came out. Vegas Chatter revealed this week that plans were approved for a 130-foot-tall, three-sided wedge sign for the Link that will face north, south, and east on the Strip. It will include a 20-foot-high, 96-square-foot LED sign with a 12-foot-high wrap display around the base with the words "The Link" in white above the wrap. A 20,500-square-foot wrap has also been approved for the Flamingo parking garage. And lastly, Imperial Palace, two signs, a 6,800-square-foot animated roof sign, and a 68,000-square-foot wrap around the IP tower.
Getting pretty intense with the wraps.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be cool. I like the idea of an animated sign, which, you know, draws a little bit more attention, a little bit, you know, a little brighter. And
well, yeah, I mean, that's Vegas, is all the gaudy, bright, flashy lights. I mean,
that's what you come to expect from that part of the Strip, too.
Right. Agreed.
Yep. Pretty cool. I guess we'll be able to give a little bit better assessment of the situation once they get that going.
Link is a really exciting project. I'm really looking forward. I hope they're able to pull this thing off properly. I could very easily see this thing becoming something of a... I've heard people describe it as Fremont on the Strip. I've heard people describe it as Bourbon Street. Either way, I think this is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems like a reasonable move.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing to see their development.
Absolutely. Moving on to some other news. Surf the Musical has closed at PH.
Yeah, that didn't take long. After only 6 weeks of poor attendance and bad reviews, Surf the Musical has closed. The Las Vegas Sun reported that attendance was so bad, the production never sold any more than 200 of the 1,500 seats in the theater for any performance. Now, reviews criticized items such as a thin storyline and poor singing.
Huh.
I was never really excited about this, but that's only because I'm not a fan of Beach Boys music. I mean, not that I dislike it. I'm just indifferent. I don't really
care. You don't feel strongly one way or the other. Right.
So, well, there you go.
That's too bad that they didn't do something a little bit better with the Beach Boys music, because, I mean, obviously they're music legends, and whether you like them or not is one thing, but I think their music is worthy of a better quality production than this.
Oh, I agree. This is the second time that they've had some kind of a stage show that used their music as the primary backdrop that has failed. They had another one. I think it was called Good Vibrations or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and that one failed as well. So yeah, I guess it just goes to show, and Viva Elvis is also a testament to it. You can't just get an icon's music and make it the basis. It actually has to be good. It has to make sense. You know, you have to tell a story.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
There you go.
Moving right along, M Life has got some changes coming up starting October 1st.
Yeah, Vegas Chatter reported that first and foremost, the rolling expiration date for credits will be replaced by a standard date of October 1st. However, if you graduate to a higher tier just before the expiration date, you will enjoy the benefits of that higher tier for at least a year. You will now get 10 tier credits for every base point earned at a Vegas location. 2 for every base point at Beau Rivage or Gold Strike Tunica, and 1 at MGM Grand Detroit. Express comp earnings are limited to $5,000 per year, except for those in their top tier, the Noir, which has a $10,000 cap. And free play credits have drastically been reduced. It used to be 3,000 coin in would give you 1,500 points, which translated into $15 in free play and $30 in express comps. Now, under the new plan, the exact same scenario would result in $10 in free play and $10 in express comps.
That sounds fucking awful.
That does suck. I don't understand the dial
that
back.
Sounds terrible.
But, we've got something coming up later in this show that I think will cause you to completely overlook this.
Yeah.
Now, if you're interested in any more of the details of the standard M Life Players Club rewards, we do have a link to it on the blog for all those details. I just didn't care to share them all because I got bored writing half that segment.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, if you want to go out and check it out, there's the link.
Yep.
Moving on to our next story. Delano Las Vegas will replace the hotel at Mandalay Bay.
MGM and Morgan's Group announced this week that they have signed a long-term deal to bring the Delano brand to Vegas, replacing the hotel, whatever the hell it is, at Mandalay Bay. Delano's only other property is located in South Beach, and it's very popular with Latin American and European markets, which has been identified as a market that has potential future growth. Delano offers a unique blend of effortless luxury and blah, 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 all that bullshit that you always hear. They are currently renovating the entire tower, including all 1,100 rooms, with plans to open in late 2013. The Morgan's Hotel Group also plans to bring new dining options to the resort that will be managed by the Light Group. Plans are for an American bistro, Japanese dining options. A concept shift is planned for Red Square, currently at Mandalay Bay, as well as a new nightclub plan to revolutionize the nightclub, blah, 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 blah.
All the standard bullshit.
Right, exactly. All the things that are going to be never before and amazing and revolution, yaddy. Now, all these venues are also projected to open in 2013. Now, the good news for the employees of the hotel, they will all have jobs at Delano.
At least that part is good.
Right, exactly. I don't really have an opinion about this.
I don't give a shit about it either. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, having done this show now for a while, we come to understand that everything is going to be groundbreaking and earth shattering. And, you know, if it proves to be awesome, then it's awesome. We go check it out. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, who cares?
Yeah, I think to your point, you know, we've been doing this show for over a year now, that it's really kind of gotten to the point where the hype behind something just doesn't faze me at all. It's more to do with, yeah, we'll wait until it opens and we'll check it out.
I understand, you know, they got to do something to try to, you know, I mean, it's just standard marketing, practices, and right, I know right. You know that, but yeah, as far as, you know, getting us excited about it at this point, I think we're kind of beyond that.
Which is kind of surprising because, Brian, you can very easily get me excited almost at any moment.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, 6 to midnight is very easily accomplishable.
Oh, yeah. All right, moving on. Caesars lost even more money than it did in the previous quarter, if that even seemed possible.
Right. Excuses continue to be that people are spending less when they come to Vegas, a dip in the economy, and increased competition in Atlantic City. CEO Gary Loveman even commented that they are taking steps to reduce costs in Atlantic City. Yeah, that's how you fight increased competition. Let's just dial everything back.
Yeah. Idiots.
Loveman does seem to be looking towards new markets and online gaming to be where their greatest future earnings potential will come from. It was also announced this week that Caesars Entertainment was approved to build a $300 million casino resort in Maryland, and they are still waiting to hear from Boston. That's pretty ballsy. Remember, that's the one where they weren't giving out any more licenses, and they're like, yeah, we're still going to build here.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think it's funny, too, and, you know, again, we've been over this whole topic before. You know, neither of us are obviously any, you know, we don't have any knowledge or savvy with finances or anything like that. But to me, it just doesn't seem like a good idea that if you're losing money, that you put a plan together to try to fix that by spending a lot more.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
I think the old adage of you have to spend money to make money is really being overused by these companies.
It's a little too liberally, right?
Right.
That's my thought on that. And moving on to our next story, MGM also reported losses double what Wall Street predicted.
Yeah, MGM is currently $13.4 billion in debt compared to Caesars' $19 billion. Oh, yeah. So it's... Yeah.
They're catching up to our national deficit real quick.
I know, it's so crazy. Now, Jim Murin told investors that MGM is in its strongest financial position as a company in the last 3 years. $13.4 billion, Jesus. I even using the word strongest financial, or the phrase strongest financial position, that's pretty ballsy when you're $13 billion in debt.
But hey, they only lost $145.5 million in the second quarter.
That's right, Brian. So we really need to put that into perspective. I mean, yes. Only.
Right. It's not that much.
Right.
$145.5 million, not a big deal.
No, it's a drop in the hat. Brian, I spend that on lunch.
I took a shit and wiped my ass with that much money in cash. That's how little that is.
As you should, sir.
Yes, in singles.
Teach some people life. Singles.
And I had a couple roll of quarter. I didn't use the quarters, though. I didn't use the quarters. There was no need for that.
No, there wasn't. No.
No. We needed total change. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Moving on to some more sensical things. Tropicana loses less.
Right. It's $5.9 million, which is an improvement from the same time last year, which is $9.4 million. You also need to put into perspective that Tropicana has their one property and MGM has all of their properties. So,
yeah, I mean, you're comparing apples to oranges there, but still the principle is the same.
Right, exactly. Now, some good news is that hotel occupancy is up to 93% with an average daily room rate up from $66 to $79. And we will participate in that because Tropicana has won us over. And our next trip, we are not only staying South Strip, but we chose Tropicana to give them a shot.
That's right. And, you know, I think it just kind of goes to show that they were successful in putting in place their renovations and kind of bringing some life and revitalizing the property. And I think you guys will really enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it.
And then in our final story for this week, Luxor Dancer's murder trial was postponed again.
Now, the defense has requested more time to secure out-of-town witnesses. The case is regarding the murder of Flores Narvez.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. A dancer in Luxor's topless show Fantasy, who was reported missing on December 12th when she didn't show up for practice. Her boyfriend, Jason Griffith, former dancer in the Mirage Cirque Show Love, was accused of the murder when her body was found a month later dismembered and encased in concrete in a downtown residence. A friend who helped with the disposal of the body informed police of Griffith's guilt.
Way to do it old school with the concrete, huh?
Doesn't this sound like some kind of shit you'd see on CSI? I mean, not
yeah,
something
it really
that happens
does,
in real
actually.
Life.
Fucked up.
I know.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, that's going to do it for news. Let's try to... I don't want to go out on the sour note like that, but we do have some prop bets in the whole rest of the show, so I guess we'll have an opportunity to redeem. But
Brian, we're funny people. I'm sure we're going to be able to redeem this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And Prop Bets, that is a segment of our show that's kind of supplementary to the news, just bits and pieces of stories without the full-blown details and all that other shit. Our first note for this week, we wanted to make a slight correction. We reported that Rock of Ages will be replacing Jersey Boys at Palazzo, but it will technically be replacing Phantom. So right, we just wanted to correct that.
And another correction, we reported that our friends at 5Hundy had shared the Absinthe extension to 2013 or 2014. I don't remember which one. One of our co-listeners, I don't know, how would you say that? They listen to 5Hundy, they listen to us. Just
yeah, they listen to both of us.
There you go. At McKaylee A. And 5Hundy also both clarified that according to a cast member of Absinthe, the extension notice of 2013 or 2014, whatever it was, that was actually a typo. So we expect an official announcement coming soon as to if there's an extension signed and how long, in fact, it was signed for.
A mutual listener. That's what it was.
Mutual. There you go. Thank you.
Yep, mutual listener. I didn't want to trample on you while you were talking. So.
Well, I appreciate that. You're a very courteous man.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Las Vegas Advisor is reporting that Celine Dion will be signing a long-term extension to stay as the resident headliner at Caesars Coliseum. No details, but the extension is expected to be longer than her previous run that lasted 5 years. God help us all.
See, see, this makes perfect sense to me. If you're able to set up a residency and have people come to you, because that does seem to be the thing that artists seem to complain about when they go on the road is, you know, you're flying and riding on buses and it's a new place every day and it's exhausting. I mean, jet lag is a pain in the ass. You know, so if you can set up residency where you're at home all day and hanging out with your kids and your family, you go do your show for a couple hours.
You drive to work just like any of us.
Yeah, I mean, you get to go back home after that. It makes perfect sense to me. So I really like that Las Vegas is changing itself from the place where washed up people at the end of their career go to top-notch entertainment like Celine Dion and Elton John and, you know, all the people that are performing at the Coliseum and at the Mirage and fucking all over the damn strip, really.
Right.
You know, that this has become, you can see these amazing acts in these intimate settings now.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Venetian Palazzo released a smartphone app that has a map of the property that works with GPS.
You know, the first thing I thought of when I heard this is Caesars needs this badly.
Yeah, no shit. You need a fucking, you need like a cartographer to put together some ridiculous map for Caesars.
It's the only property, Brian, that I've stayed a week at, and I don't know all the ins and outs of that property after I was done staying there.
Angela's head was spinning when we were there.
I still
last
get lost
year.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they just add on. They've added on so many sections that.
Yeah,
you know,
right. I mean, you can't blame them. I mean, that's. That property's been around forever. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's one of the originals because it came on like 20 years after they started, but you know, it's one of the few that's still there, you know, from the old days. And you're right, they're just adding on to it. So they're kind of, you know, backed into a corner. They can only do what they can do without destroying the whole thing and remaking it, but it's still a pain in the ass to get around. So
right. Yep.
Moving on, the Las Vegas Advisor reported that the porn slapper litter bill was approved, meaning all handbillers are responsible to pick up a 25-foot radius around where they are standing every 15 minutes or face up to a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail. I cannot wait to go to Vegas with you the next time you go.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
It is going to be a good time.
We're going to fuck with those guys.
I just see you throwing it at their face, at their feet. Pick it up.
Yeah.
You pick it up right now.
I'm timing you.
Right. I'm going to tell.
I've got cops around the corner on standby. You don't pick that shit up, it's over for you. It's over.
You know, one thing I can say about all the porn slappers, I don't know what's been going on, but our last trip, and I want to say as far back as our last two trips this year, there have been dramatically less. Like, it's not a line of 10 of them. It's like one or two.
That's a good thing?
It's far more managing, not nearly as annoying.
You know, but see, the thing about the porn slappers is that's all they are, is annoying. You know, like they're not, they obviously can't be pushy with you about it, you know, but I don't know, as irritating as they can be sometimes, I do get a good laugh at their expense. So to me, they have some value.
Another thing about them, too, is they aren't nearly as annoying as the timeshare people or the want to see a show tonight.
Those guys are fucking irritating.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like, here, do you want this? Want this? Prostitution? No? All right, fine, whatever. I mean, they don't even talk to you. It's just like, here, if you want it, take it. If not, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't fucking chase you. Oh, are you going to be in town tonight there, sir? Would you like to see a show? It's like, no. Oh, what about this? Like, I just fucking told you no. Shut up and leave me alone.
Yeah. Those, to me, those guys are the worst.
Oh, they enrage me.
LVH finally unveiled its new marquee, which is only the old marquee, but now with the letters LVH in the same place that the Hilton name used to be displayed.
I don't understand why this took so long.
I know, it's only three fucking letters.
That's right. Fuck, two of them were already in the Hilton sign.
I think it took a shorter time to build the Fremont Street experience than this.
Right. Vegas Eater shared some details about the forthcoming Neonopolis Denny's. Representatives at Denny's have said that this will be their new flagship location and are referring to it as the Diner of the Future. There's also a shit ton of yellow planned to be part of the decor. That's going to be tough to clean.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yellow's right up there with white. It's a pain in the ass, man. It fucking shows everything.
I'm sorry. Denny's is a fucking Denny's. I mean, you know, unless the menu's going to be completely different.
Which it will not.
No, how is it going to be the Diner of the Future?
I'm with you. I don't really understand. I mean, maybe they're going to start using technology more. Maybe you order right from your desk, but from your table. But I highly doubt it. I think they're just going to put some modern seating and decor and exterior and whatnot. But it's still a Denny's. It doesn't matter what.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Denny's food is fine. You know, right. It's not great. It's not well. You can
serviceable
get
at 3 a.m.
Yeah, you can get horrible food at Denny's, but I mean, come on. I mean, you get a Grand Slam breakfast. It's a Grand Slam breakfast. It's
right,
usually
exactly.
Pretty consistent. But if you want to do something good for your patrons, get some good quality fucking service in there, and that's right. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not sitting there going, I'm still waiting for my fucking eggs over my hammy and you know, for 20 minutes. But damn, this is a sharp looking Denny's.
Yeah, my God, I love this yellow.
Right.
This is terrific. I love this. I love the urine-colored curtains.
I don't mind waiting 20 minutes for my fucking pancakes.
When I've got this to look at.
Right.
No, that's not the fucking case. Get your shit together.
And lastly, for prop bets, a judge ruled this week that the Tea Party of Tennessee has to pay Venetian $748,000 for the 1,637 rooms they reserved in anticipation of a political rally in July of 2010, then canceled.
Yeah, good, good. Fucking pay the money,
yeah,
assholes.
You don't reserve that many fucking rooms. Just go, hey, we're not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, like day before. guys, listen, none of us made it. So we don't need those rooms. Thanks, though.
Right.
Fuck you guys. Asshats.
Right.
So that's going to conclude news and prop bets. Let's move on to playing Vegas. In Playing Vegas, which is the segment of our show, we reveal to you upcoming performances and acts outside of the normal residencies that will be occurring within the next week. And for this week, the dive-in movie at Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan is Rudy. Doors open at 7 p.m. Show starts at 8. Admission, as always, is free, and snacks and drinks will be available for purchase.
Thursday through Saturday, Ari Shaffir is at the Empire Comedy Club at Paris. Show's going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets run $45 to $67.
Friday and Saturday, Paula Poundstone is at the Orleans. That show's going to start at 8, and tickets will be $20.
Friday through Sunday, Mythbusters Behind the Myths is at Palazzo. Show's going to start at 7 p.m. Tickets are $73 to $235.
On Saturday, Enrique Iglesias and Jennifer Lopez are at Mandalay Bay. That show will begin at 7:30, and tickets will range from $55 to $265.
And lastly, Sunday, Yes with Procol Harum are at the Pearl at Palms. Show is going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets run $44 to $92.
That's it for Playing Vegas. Let's move on to slots. Every week we try to bring to you a slots review, and for this week we've got Bally's Cash Wizard, which is a 5-reel, 30-payline video slot available in penny to $1 denominations. The machine utilizes Bally Technologies Interactive iDeck, a fully digital button panel that is used to replace all bets and spins. The game features 5 bonus features, 2 of which can only be activated when pressing the Wizard Bonus Bet button at an extra cost of 20 credits per spin. In the base game, 15 free games can be awarded whenever you hit 3 free game symbols on reels 2, 3, and 5. The real games are played at a 3x multiplier, and you can continue hitting free games indefinitely during the bonus.
On to the bonus rounds. We'll start off with the Invisible Ink. In this bonus, secret win multipliers are revealed. Whenever an Invisible Ink symbol appears on the reel, you touch it to reveal your win. This can be from 2x to 20x your base bet.
Next one is the Magic Potion. This one is awarded when 3 Magic Potion symbols are hit on reels 1, 2, and 3. Here you get to pick from 7 different bottles of potions. Most picks award credits, but some bottles are tainted and take credits away. If you can avoid picking a cursed bottle, you are awarded an extra 100 credits multiplied by your line bet. The 2 aforementioned bonuses are also available during the free games feature, meaning they are played out at an automatic 3x multiplier to begin with.
Now, the following 2 bonus rounds require you to play using the Wizard Bonus Bet button. The first one is the Wizard Wild feature. It occurs at the beginning of any reel spin. 2 to 5 wild symbols spread across the reel, resulting in large payouts. The Mystery Wheel is awarded randomly at the end of any reel spin. Here you get to spin the wheel, which is set atop the display cabinet. This awards credits, free games, or 1 of 3 progressive jackpots starting at 2,500, 25,000 times, or 1 million times the base denomination. So, for example, if the slot is a penny machine, 1 million times would result in $10,000 jackpot. The Mystery Wheel is activated on average every 33 reel spins.
And that is Bally's Cash Wizard.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Matt from our Annie Up segment for providing us with the slot review.
Yeah, thanks for not fucking this one up, buddy.
Yeah, you did a nice job not screwing up.
Right.
Good job. Good fucking job.
Let's celebrate your lack of failure.
You know what else we'll celebrate? We'll celebrate the U.S. stomping the piss out of Australia in just about everything in the Olympics.
Ryan, I got to be honest. I think you and I could have stomped the piss out of Australia.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go into it in detail. I think I think that would just be distasteful at this point. It's kind of rubbing salt in the open wound there. But
agreed.
Yeah, thanks anyway, Matt, for not fucking up. You can check out 360vegaslots.com for these details, as well as a video of the game in action. That's going to do it for our slot segment. Let's move on to Vegas deals. In our Vegas deal segment, we share with you ways you can save money and also other kind of cool things to help you save a few bucks on your trip to Vegas or in planning your trip to Vegas. And Mark, why don't you start off with our first item?
First thing we wanted to talk about is MGM's My Vegas Facebook Casino. My Vegas is currently in beta. It's a game that combines Facebook social media with an online casino and city management simulation. It's similar to many other Facebook games in that you can share your progress as well as interact with your friends while you play. What makes this one special is their partnership with MGM Resorts, offering the potential to earn real-world comps anywhere from meals to comped rooms. The concept is really simple. You just play the game a lot. You start with a slot machine, but you can open up other slots as well as blackjack, and more games are promised to come online once they have officially launched it. As you play the game, you win credits just like a regular slot. But you also earn a few other things. You earn My Vegas loyalty points. They're earned the same way that you earn credits for your play in a real casino. My Vegas tokens are earned to help you build representations of MGM resorts. And lastly, VIP tier credits are earned to help you level up and award various perks. And let's break these down.
Yeah, and let's start with the loyalty points. Each time you play the slot game, whether you win or lose, you earn credits, just like a real casino. And just like real casinos, after you acquire so many credits, you earn different tier points. In this case, you earn My Vegas loyalty points. You can watch the My Vegas loyalty coin earn value until it's a complete coin. 10 loyalty coins are added to your bank. Loyalty points can then be redeemed for meals, shows, and even room comps in Vegas. The more you bet, the faster you acquire them.
The next one we want to talk about in detail are the My Vegas tokens. Now, these are used to help you build various MGM properties. They are awarded randomly and help you purchase various items related to a property. Once you've collected them all, that property will be completely built on your Vegas strip. After the property is built, it begins to generate coins for you on a regular basis to use to play the casino games. Now, every MGM property in Vegas is available to build, but each requires more tokens to build than the previous. Each property also generates more coins than the next at different time intervals. It may take Monte Carlo 20 minutes to generate 100 coins, but Circus Circus needs an hour to generate 300 coins. Now, just for the record, those aren't real times or awards. That's just an example of how they differentiate between each other.
Yep, absolutely. And then lastly, you have the VIP tier credits. You can think of these as kind of like leveling up. Each time you play the slot, you earn credits. Once you earn a certain amount, you level up. Every time you level up, you're awarded a prize, which can be credits, loyalty points, or both even. The higher the level, the more games become available for you to play, and the higher your max bet can be, and the more auto spins you're allowed. Once you reach a high enough tier level, you can set the game to autoplay for you, so you can earn tokens, credits, loyalty points, and tier credits without even paying attention to the game at all.
Yeah, like the majority of social media games, you can gift credits to friends and update your status in the game. You're also gifted credits and or loyalty points just for logging into the game every day. Now, it literally works every 24 hours. So let's say the first time you play the game, it's at 8 p.m. Your 24-hour cycle begins and ends at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and you also have the ability to purchase more credits if you don't want to wait for the game to generate them for you. Prices vary from $5 for 5,000 chips and 250 loyalty points to $200 for 600,000 chips and 20,000 loyalty points.
Now, here's one of the coolest parts. Examples of some of the comps that you can earn. For 5,000 loyalty points, you can get a crepe at Aria at John Felipe's Pastry. For 15,000 loyalty points, you can get comp access to the Bank Nightclub at Bellagio or even a suite upgrade at MGM. 30,000 loyalty points can get you a comp night at Excalibur. 96,000 gets you two tickets to a Cirque show. And 200,000 gets you two nights at Aria Comp. The highest they have available are for 1 million, and they allow you to do one or two things. You can pick the songs the Fountains of Bellagio will play to, or you can have a makeover from Kim Vo himself at the Mirage.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, you were given details on how to redeem your comps after you purchased them from the game. I've been playing it since, I think it was, as soon as I learned about it, which I think was like Thursday, maybe Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Originally, I was just testing it out for the show, but this is actually fun. And I won't go into any of the details of the games. If you're interested, you can check them out for yourself. But normally, I ignore all those friend requests to play or gifts. But those of you who decide to play, feel free to bother us by, you know, including us in your game. And, you know, we'll return the favor. This thing is a lot of fun. Karen and I have both been on it. I know Tim and Michelle are also playing it as well. It's just tying real-world comps into it. Well done. I mean, I've messed around with Caesar's Double Down. I've messed around with some of the other Facebook casinos. But this is just taking it to another level.
Yeah, and I know of this. I haven't had an opportunity to play it, but after having discussed it with you in more detail, I think I'll definitely at least get the wife working on it because she's always looking for something fun to do. And if we can get some free shit out of it,
absolutely.
Why not? I would encourage everybody to do that.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. Nice outline of the game for you. And definitely check it out and let us know what you think of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next on our list for Vegas deals, Tender Steak at Luxor is celebrating its fourth year in a row winning the Wine Spectator Award of Excellence with a price-fixed menu. The dinner will be $95, which will be a four-course meal with wine pairing available Monday, September 17th through Sunday, the 23rd. Just to talk a little bit more about it, the meal's seafood appetizer will begin with Alaskan halibut, white chipino, complete with steamed crabs, mussels, and crab in a white wine fish broth made with fennel, leeks, roasted garlic, and sea asparagus. The seafood appetizer will be paired with a 2010 Masso Canale Pinot Grigio from Italy. The heirloom tomato soup will follow, made with roasted wild boar loin with aged bandaged cheddar cheese over organic Peruvian quinoa and corn pilaf. A 2009 McMurray Ranch Pinot Noir from Sonoma will be paired with the savory soup. The entree tasting trio with an Omaha Black Angus beef tenderloin medallion accompanied by an asparagus and baby green bean salad, complemented by a 2009 Louis M. Martini Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley. And the second dish is an Oregon lamb porterhouse with braised organic sea island red peas that will be served with a 2010 Alamo Selection Malbec from Argentina. If you are interested or if this sounds good to you and you want some more information, check out the link on the blog or on the Enhanced podcast for details for the rest of the meal.
I'm so impressed, Brian. I like to tout myself as a bit of a wordsmith, but you pronounced a dozen words there. I had no fucking clue what they were.
Well, and not all of them may be correct, but if not, they're pretty fucking close.
I bought it. Moving on, you can get 30% off of lady swimwear at Sun God's retail shop at Caesars.
I usually just point to things on the menu and say, I'd like the beef, please.
That's actually how I do it.
Why not? I know if I know it tastes good or if I like it, then, you know, it doesn't matter if I can pronounce it or not.
Right.
I don't have anyone to impress. I'm already married, so.
And you impress me just by your sheer presence.
Yes.
The closer the proximity, the more I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And ironically aroused.
Yes.
I don't know if that's ironic, but it's true.
Okay. Simon's at Palm's Place has a junk food platter appetizer. This might be a little bit more your speed, Mark. It consists of cotton candy, Rice Krispie treats, Hostess brownies. Hostess is going out of bankrupt again or something like that, I heard.
Yeah.
Hostess brownies, cupcakes, snowballs, caramel popcorn, and a milkshake for $18. It's available on their latest menu.
Also known as diabetes, the appetizer.
Diabetes.
Diabetes. Diabetes.
You see that commercial with the, I forget his name, or he was like an Wilford actor Brimley. From the 80s. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, that's him. I love that. He's like, if you diabetes. Need to get a grip on your diabetes, call this number. I don't know. I like
Moving
it.
On, Stratosphere has a Twitter room deal with rates starting at $32. The rate is good for stays booked now through November 30th. However, you must book by Saturday, August 18th.
And during the month of August, every Saturday, Hooters is giving away $1,000 cash to 5 Players Club members. All you need to do is play. Every 100 points you receive on your Players Club card gets you one entry into the drawing. For additional details, check with the Owl Rewards Club for more info. You can check out these and all the deals we report on the show at 360VegasDeals.com. That's going to do it for Vegas Deals. Let's move on to coming attractions. On to our coming attractions segment, where we talk to you a little bit more about upcoming performances and acts outside of the normal residencies that will be occurring for your future dates. First one for this week, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill will begin a short-term residency at Venetian starting Friday, December 7th through April 27th. Shows will be almost every weekend, Friday, Saturday, 2 shows per night. The first begins at 8 p.m. Second is set to begin at 10:30. Tickets will range anywhere from $111 to $310.
This may actually be our first true stories that we broke because I was waiting for the announcement. They were tweeting it all up. It was a big deal. You know, they've been saying this for weeks that they're going to make a huge announcement. And while most people did kind of think that it was probably this thing, even though the spokesman for Tim McGraw and Faith Hill said that they weren't going to be doing it, while I was waiting, they were tweeting like every minute about, you know, oh, and look at all the media showing up here and this is happening here. So I got kind of bored while I was waiting. So I decided to just on a hunch to check out Ticketmaster. And I was able to find out about 10 minutes before they announced it what it was. So I started tweeting it and I copied in Venetian, who then wouldn't reply to me. And I kept various members of the media that we're friends with on Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. I was sending them direct messages like, hey, by the way, this is what they're going to announce. And the funny thing is that I announced that, you know, we found that these dates were confirmed on Ticketmaster. It was already up there that this is what was going to happen. And I'm sure it isn't ironic, but a few hours after the announcement, I went back to Ticketmaster. I was getting ready for the show notes, trying to tie everything together. They were magically gone, Brian.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
It showed up, I believe, the following day. So I get the impression that 360 Vegas encouraged Venetian to scream at Ticketmaster for fucking up so we could fuck up their big, amazing breaking news. You know, because they kept touting this as, this is the biggest announcement we've ever made in the history of Venetian. And I'm like, I just fucked it for you. Yeah.
Suck just, it. 10 minutes just before I know what's going on. I just ass-fucked your big plans for surprise.
Right. I didn't even ask, nor did I provide lube, so eat it.
Nope. Done. Right. It's a done deal. See, and this is also why I'm so glad that you are handling all the social media for us instead of me, because I go ADD with Twitter. I can't do it. Like, I start sweating, I get anxiety when I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Well, it's not ADD, that's anxiety.
Well, it's all the above, really.
All right, that's fair. Other acts coming up, Alice Cooper is coming to the Pearl at Palms Friday, November 30th. His show is going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets run $60 to $103.
comedian, and illusionist, the amazing Jonathan will not be following Crave to Neonopolis, and instead we'll be back on this trip sharing a theater with Tony and Tina's wedding at Bally's. No word on exactly when will this take place, nor do we care.
That's all accurate statements, Brian.
Yes.
Van Halen, a Van Halen tribute, and if you couldn't put that together, you should just fucking end it. And Hurricane, a Scorpions tribute band, will be performing at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay Thursday, August 23rd. Show's going to start at 6:30. Tickets run $13.
In all seriousness, if you couldn't put together that Van Halen was a Van Halen tribute band, you should seriously just end yourself right now.
Right. There's really no point.
Stop listening to us and go do it now.
That's right. Your life is valueless. Someone's going to hate that.
Just kidding. Don't do that. We're just... Right. It's a poor attempt at trying to be funny.
We just make jokes here.
Yeah, bad jokes.
Right, bad offensive jokes.
Really
aggressive
bad
in some cases.
Yes. Back by popular demand, Dancing with the Stars Live will return to the new Tropicana in the March of 2013.
Well done, Tropicana. Offspring will be performing at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan Saturday, October 6th. Their show's going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets listed for $53. And thank you to Cosmopolitan for clarifying the price, because when we originally tweeted that they were coming and attached a link to the prices that they had on Ticketmaster, they had listed that the tickets were $300+.
Which is crazy.
For any artist that isn't a former Beatle or Stone or, you know, some ridiculous shit like that.
Yeah, right. Taboo of the Black Eyed Peas will be the guest DJ at Rain Nightclub Saturday, September 1st. Don't expect him to arrive at the DJ booth until after 10:30, sometime thereabout.
Right. Styx will be performing their Grand Illusion and Pieces of Eight albums in their entirety at the Pearl at Palms Friday and Saturday, November 16th and 17th. Show's going to start at 8:30. Tickets run $67 to $97. Have you ever been to a concert that does that?
Not play their entire album, no.
I have. I went to see Weezer perform their entire Blue album, and it was amazing. I love that some bands are starting to do this. Literally, from cover to cover, in the exact order as the album, it was a ton of fun.
Well, Styx would be good, too, for that, especially those two albums. Well,
they were very theatrical, so absolutely.
Yeah. Joe Rogan is performing at Mandalay Bay Friday, August 31st. That show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets will range from $37 to $47.
Society of Seven with Jasmine Trias of American Idol fame will begin a residency at Riviera Starlight Theater. The show is described as a family-friendly performance of singing, dancing, and comedy. Shows will begin at 9 p.m. Thursday through Monday. They're going to be dark on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Tickets are $30 for general admission, $45 for preferred seating, and $60 for VIP. $10 tickets are available for those under 7 or over 70.
Because you're likely to get a lot less enjoyment out of it if you're right. Within those age categories. You can now purchase tickets to Eli Roth's Goratorium at their official website, goratorium.com. We'll provide a link. Tickets are currently $40 at the Goratorium, $35 if you purchase online and in advance. VIP tickets cost $60 and give you front-of-the-line access, private elevator, express entrance, and comp entrance to Baby Doll's Lounge. The Goratorium officially opens on September 27th, and they have a promotional video for the attraction, which has already made it clear that this isn't really for us. So.
No, this thing is really gory. So for those of you who are into it, you're going to love this, but I had trouble watching it. So I will not be attending the Goratorium.
Not going to be for everybody. We knew that, though.
No, but good on them. I mean, way to you know, go balls out on something, because this thing, I mean, if the Goratorium is... You know, if their promotional video is a fair representation of what you're going to see there, this thing's fucking real, people. This is saw fucked up. So people who love that shit are going to love the hell out of this.
Absolutely. Don't forget, you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists we report on our coming attractions calendar on the blog. That's going to do it for coming attractions. Let's move on to Annie Up.
Welcome back to another episode of Annie Up. I'm Matt, and with me is Dazzy.
G'day.
And hiding in the shadows today, we have Mark.
Lurking like a sexual deviant in a corner, looking at this beautiful man. And I'll tell you what, anybody who's ever given this guy shit, all you need to do is get lost in those baby blues and You'll be like me. Like my cock is literally chapped at this point, and it hurts. And it hurts, but I can't stop. So
I'm blushing. We've been online for 15 minutes. You spent 14 of them complimenting me.
That is accurate, sir, and you deserve it.
Me, on the other hand, I just sit here like a piece of meat, like just getting abused. I don't get any affection.
I've already used you, sir. You're old hat to me. Now I need to tear into this boy.
All abused and tattered.
Now, we had the opportunity. The boys were recording some Annie Ups today. I happened to have taken the day off of work to get some other stuff done and thought it'd be fun to kind of crash their show. So good luck.
Well, we were actually just about to talk about a incident that happened when we were driving to Thomas Mack Stadium when we were in Vegas last year.
Watch a college basketball game?
Yeah, we're heading out to watch a college game. Darren was driving and I was looking at the sat navigation device. And Darren, halfway through the drive, when we hit the highway, just said, "Matt, am I in the wrong lane?" And I shit you not, I looked up. We had six lanes of traffic coming for us. Like 60 miles an hour. I don't know how the fuck we survived.
Because we drive on the other side of the road. And I'd driven from LA to Vegas. I've done a fair bit of driving.
No problem.
But at night, it's a little bit different, maybe. Just one bad turn at a light.
He just hugged that. He turned left and hugged the left curb, and we were coming onto the traffic.
Wow.
At 60 miles. We were going 60. They were going 60. I don't know how we survived. People flew past us swearing. Yeah. We jumped the curb and just sat there crying.
I was going to say, did it have one of the cement dividers to get back on the other side in between you?
One side it didn't, so we
went to the curb side.
And Darren jumped the fucking thing just to get up the road.
It was a hired car, so I didn't really care what I did to it at that time.
I've always thought that would be an issue if I went on vacation overseas is doing something like that, and clearly it is something to be concerned about. I wonder if a cop gives you a break, you know, and you're like, "Listen, man, listen to my fucking accent. Clearly, I don't know where the hell I am."
But look at my eyes. Look how beautiful.
Right. You just stare into them and try and hypnotize them. Look at my beautiful coif of hair and my stunning eyes.
That's good. And then about half an hour, we got into a cab, actually. We dropped the car back off.
Next to the stadium, but I was too, I didn't want to drive after it, so we went and took the car straight back.
We went back to the hotel and picked up and got in a cab. We were in the cab and we heard it come over the radio. They warned that there's some drunk on the wrong side of the road on the freeway. We just sat in the back like, "That's us."
That's awesome.
To all cab drivers.
Well, there you go, boys. You made your mark on Vegas. You had a fucking APB out on you.
It's fucking great.
It would have been a good place to die now, at least.
Right. That's where you're scraping my ashes when I do die.
That's right.
This week, we're giving you a rough breakdown of how various games are rated by the casinos in order for you to receive their comps.
As we've discussed in previous segments, be sure to hand over your player's card to the dealer. Or if you didn't take, well, or if you don't have on an ass to be made.
Start again.
So, yeah, I'm baffled by you, Matt. It's hard to pay attention. As we've discussed in previous segments, be sure to hand over your player's card to the dealer, or if you don't have one, ass to be rated.
Table games are rated using the following five factors. What game is being played and what is the house edge? How many bets are being placed per hour? How long do you play for? The average bet size, and most importantly, your average theoretical loss per hour.
I seldom get comp, especially in an era where, you know, you have properties who are pulling comps back. When I initially started going to Vegas, they were a lot more free with them. But recently, I just don't really get a whole lot of free room deals, which is really the only thing I'm aiming for.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Roulette is a very simple game for casinos to rate your play on. The casino simply averages your total bet per spin against the average spins per an hour, usually 40 to 50, against the 5.26% house edge.
This will give you your average theoretical loss per hour. A casino will generally comp a player at the rate of 50% of their theoretical loss. So a $25 per spin roulette player will play an average of 40 spins per hour, which equals $1,000 wagered. With a house edge of 5.26%, the theoretical loss is $52.60. So you will accrue about $26 in comp credit per hour.
I can't believe they actually spin the wheel that much. I would have never thought that it goes, because that game seems to be remarkably slow.
Yeah, I would have thought this, because it feels like more than, that's almost a spin a minute, not quite a spin a minute.
It's about every 2 minutes technically. So that's probably a bit high, 40 to 50. It's about 40 spins an hour, I think.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
But when you're waiting for a spin, it takes forever. You're like, spin the fucking wheel.
Well, it's like a junkie.
Yeah, especially when you consider a lot of people who play roulette know exactly what they want to play every single time. So it's like, okay, my chips are back on there. Let's fucking spin the wheel already. Yeah.
Blackjack and most other card-based table games are worked on a similar basis. The only factor changing the comp credits is the house edge.
For blackjack, a player will usually play 80 hands per hour. Placing an average $10 bet would equal $800 an hour. With a house edge of 2% for the non-basic strategy player, this equates to $20 per hour and therefore $10 in comp credit.
Wow, that's... See, and I bet for guys like you who know how to play blackjack in your fucking sleep, that many hands... Just even that feels kind of slow, but that's one of the reasons why I can't sit at a blackjack table, because I'm like, this shit is happening way too fast. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, it'd be coming to me, and I'm looking at my best strategy card, like, hold on, I don't know yet.
Oh, when we get to Vegas, I'll show you how to play it. So, once you know the basics, it's so fucking easy.
You just see, you think it's slow. If you play it over here, they allow an extra square. Like, in Vegas, there's only 6 players, but at our casinos, they allow for 7 players. Mm-hmm. And you can bet behind each square, 3 per person. So you could effectively, at our casino, have 21 players on one blackjack table.
Wait a minute, what? You have people
let's do a Vegas one. You've got 6 squares there, betting squares.
Right.
You can technically, in our casino, we have 7. And each so I control the box if I'm at the front, but I can have people back betting it, up to 2 people per square.
So you can literally have people standing behind you also betting on the hand that you're actually playing.
Yes, I play the hand, so we control it, whoever's at the front.
But people Aussies are behind. Junkies, man.
we gamble more than anyone else in the world per capita, apparently.
Yeah, it's accurate. I believe I was one of the people who reported that number.
Our first segment, you did.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
21 players can play one friggin' square, or one table. It's absolutely insane.
And then they have perfect pair bets. Still this, yeah.
Yeah, plus they have side bets like they have in Vegas, so, and they all get played 3 times. So
wow.
It great. Is... And so much money is on one blackjack table in one hand. It's insane.
We will discuss craps comps when we cover the strategy of cramps.
Cramps?
I always say crabs.
It's always. You just constantly be crabs.
Oh, I spend too much time with Matt's mom. And
It is a hazard of having that sort of recreation. It is. And unfortunately, thankfully, there's medication to help control the itch. I mean, it's really the best you can hope for. Because the alternative is to not mess around with Matt's mom, and that's just not an option.
You son of a bitch. You don't even know her.
That's awesome. We will discuss craps comps when we cover the strategy in a future segment, as it is much more complex due to the various bets you can place. We also didn't bother discussing slot comps, as most people understand it is based on your amount of coin in per an hour.
Do you know anything about slot comps, Mark? Do you know how it's rated at all?
No, I have no idea.
No, I know it is quite tricky. I know that. There's quite a lot to it.
Yeah, gambling. I've said it before. I enjoy playing craps and video poker and stuff, but gambling isn't why I go to Vegas. It's just what I get to do while I'm there.
Yeah, it's an added bonus. See, we pretty much go to gamble, and then everything else is...
That was our initial, yeah.
I'm well aware that gambling tends to run you gentlemen's lives, and that of your degenerate friends.
Oh, we've got many more stories to share.
Now we just write notes. Every time we think of a good story, we make a note of it so we can try and bring it up, because we do have a lot of funny stories.
There's so many. If you wish to contact us with a gambling question, have a gaming story you wish to share, or have any feedback, you can find us on Twitter at 360AnnieUp or drop us an email at 360AnnieUp@gmail.com.
That was so much fun doing that with the boys. We had a great time when we had Matt join us. I really look forward to the time that you can, you know, the four of us can either join in for an AnnieUp or we can all just do a show together, because we just had so much fun doing that.
Yeah, I definitely want to incorporate, you know, having Matt, especially, you know, in the show with us. I don't know. I like a threesome. So,
so fuck off, Daz.
No.
We'll have to swap in Daz every once in a while.
Yeah,
he's a beautiful man, Brian. A beautiful man.
Yeah, I meant to ask you that actually. Did you have the webcam on for that?
I did. I couldn't help it, Brian. Normally you and I don't have the webcam on because sometimes it can degrade the audio, but I just couldn't shut it off, Brian. I couldn't do it.
I'm sure it was really difficult to focus when you get to see them with like in front of a flickering candlelight in their mattress teepee.
That's well, Brian, you heard the edited version. You don't know how many other times, you know, I just literally was mopping up drool. I mean, it was it first of all, it was a very beautiful, tasteful, romantic setting that they were in. Those gentlemen cuddle like I've never seen before.
They take spooning to a whole new level.
It is. It's an art form for them.
Yes. Well, thank you to Matt and Des, as always, for another wonderful Annie Up. And thank you, sir, for helping them out and, yeah, everything yeah. that you do.
We had a good time.
Yeah. For a recap of this week's Annie Up, you can go to 360annieup.com. So that's going to do it. I think that, yeah, I think we're ready to get out of here. Episode 58, all done. Did you have any closing words?
I don't. We had a great time recording with the boys, as I've said. I love those guys. It's one of those things. It was never part of the plan. We stumbled upon finding them, and it's such an interesting added dynamic. And guys I've never even met that are 13 hours, you know, away from us, I consider to be very close friends. I can't wait to meet them.
Yeah. Likewise. I hope I get the opportunity.
Yeah.
So again, that's going to do it. We're all set. Episode 58. We hope you enjoyed the show. Feel free to find us on any of our social media outlets. If you go to the blog, 360vegaspodcast.com, that is, you can find links to all the stories that we referenced on this week's show, as well as find links to all of our social media outlets. Also, keep your emails and reviews coming. We enjoy reading them, good or bad. We like having them. Feel free to give us a rating on iTunes as well. We certainly appreciate that. And yeah, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening, guys, and we appreciate you downloading.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.